destination geometric foundation.
Okay, thanks. So I would like to start this talk actually with mentioning that 5 days ago, Alexander Grothendieck has died. And I think that it's, for many people, and including me, is considered like the greatest mathematician of the 20th century. And I think that it would be nice that at least in some of the talks, like this event would be mentioned. So it's just, this is just a spoiler of whatever I know of mathematics. Okay, so now I pass to my talk. So the motivation for this, what I'm going to tell you about, they come from two different sides. One side is quantum foundations, and like the motivation is to find the information theoretic, say, foundations, which would be able not only to approach the problem of like structure and meaning of quantum mechanics, but also like of quantum theory in general, which would mean like something like non-perturbative foundations for QFT or something that would be up to replace QFT, because mostly QFTs are defined in a perturbative sense and with some space-time in the background. So like the idea here is that there may be something like general quantum theory. Quantum mechanics would be something like a special quantum theory. And it would be nice to have it like defined in a neat mathematical way, not in a perturbative sense, and so on. So this is like so as opposed to like the standard things, many information theoretic approaches to foundations of quantum mechanics, where the structure is already known, and the question is like how to make sense of the structure. Here I'm kind of going for a quest for new structures. So I would like emphasize more the mathematical component over the semantics, because mathematics still might change, and it would be unreasonable to enclose oneself in the like predefined semantics. Okay, so the other motivation comes from quantum gravity, and I would say it's a bit ironic motivation, and like, after observing that many different approaches to quantum gravity have various problems, one is tempting to ask whether it's possible to go the other way instead of quantizing gravity and dealing with all these problems of what quantization actually may mean and whether it's and how it can be applied to general relativity. Try to think that maybe actually there might be something like a general quantum theory, something beyond quantum mechanics and quantum field theories, and maybe space-time and space-state dynamics may, well, arise from it. This word emergent is like a buzzword, but basically it's being thought as something like pops out of the structure or some part of the structure. Okay, so these are like two motivations, and like the main message that I would like to substantiate in further slides is the following. Like, first is that quantum mechanics can be generalized to a framework that is essentially based on relative entropies, and this is a framework of quantum information geometry, and this allows to define nonlinear kinematics and nonlinear dynamics in a consistent way. This framework doesn't require to assume anything like Hilbert spaces, like measure spaces, like probability theory, and actually it's independent of any spacetimes. All those structures are up to be derived as either as special cases or as an emergent structure. Okay, so emergent spacetime, I already mentioned it, and like emergent quantum field theories, I will have not enough time. I will not have a time for discuss it in many days. I hope to give another talk on this topic. But basically, like emergent quantum field theories would be something like quantum field theory over the emergent space time. And the last thing is the interpretation. The interpretation is intended, and all those structures would be like constructed in a way to guarantee that there is no ontology, there are no ontological commitments on the way, that the interpretation, all structures allow for information theoretic interpretation. However, there would be no axiomatization because it's still a search for the proper structure. Okay, so like to explain like what is the main idea behind the mathematical structures I will give you. The first is like to recall how standard quantum mechanics works, and standard quantum mechanics is like very strange stuff because like there is this Hilbert space. There is this Hilbert space formalism that we are used to, but actually this Hilbert space formalism is not associated directly to data, but there is another theory on the way with another mathematical formalism, and it's also not associated directly to data, but on the way there are some like methods of statistical estimation and inference that people do. So like if I'm facing some data, some numbers, whatever, like something there very, very basic that is done in laboratory before conceptualization, something what can be repeated by monkeys. Well, I don't know actually whether monkeys can repeat anything, but like theoretical, ideal monkeys. Then we get just some numbers, some plots and this stuff. And then there are like various conventions of statistical estimation, various things that are more or less justified. And this then it's translated to probabilistic setup, and only later we get the Hilbert space. On the other hand, so here we have some things, some methods of model construction, some ad hocery, and so on. And also when we construct quantum models, like for example by quantization, assuming some symmetries and so on, there's also some methods of model constructions here. And there is a question like whether having like those two different like places when things can be changed, to what extent this framework is optimal. This framework came out like basically like it was created by von Neumann, and it was a solution to a very specific problem. It was problem of setting up the proving equivalence of Schrödinger and Heisenberg approaches, and it was done. It is like the Hilbert space setup provides a solution to this problem. But it's not necessary that this setup is really a solution to everything. It's nice, it's consistent, it's very powerful. But like similarly to the framework or Kolmogorov framework for probability theory, it doesn't provide like definite methods of model construction given specific information. It's like it's just a toolbox with no well-defined semantics how to deal with data. So if one strips all ontology from this mathematical structure and just asks how to deal with data in an optimal way and how to construct quantum models, this thing becomes very awkward. And I would say that the main paradigm that is behind, at least for me, behind quantum mechanics is spectral paradigm. So it's like there is this sort of very serious considerations of the composition of operators into projectors, and like translation between like spaces of density operators and spaces of probabilities. This is something what is out there, and the question is like where we can go out of it. So like from my perspective, like if there is like no anti-commitments, it's basically like a machinery for doing some inference, like encoding knowledge and processing it and decoding. And the question is like, is this particular setup and with this paradigm is the best what we can do with our experimental data? Okay, so this is what I will advocate here and like present it here in more detail is another way of going with quantumness and data. So the point would be that to construct quantum kinematics as something that directly generalizes probability theory. So we would have just immediately here there would be no probabilities, just quantum states and spaces of quantum states. Quantum dynamics would be intended to generalize both, to generalize statistical inference, but with some causality behind assumed. So it's not just, it would be just, not that quantum dynamics is purely inference, just reasoning or learning of new knowledge, but also some inner dynamics might be out there. And yeah, no Hilbert spaces, no eigenvalues, no measure spaces. And the mathematical implementation would be based on information geometry on over the quantum states. And this would be, this information geometry should be understood as a replacement, as a, I would say, paradigmatic replacement for the spectral theory and for the spectral paradigm. Okay, so the new setup, I mean, the most interesting, the most important part is here. Basically, the idea is to use like methods of model construction and generalization of statistical estimation and inference, directly translating between this what is data and what are spaces of quantum states, but not quantum states over double star algebra. This would be, I will explain this in a moment. But basically, like, there would be some notion of generalized notion of quantum state, and the idea would be just to use those quantum states as carriers for experimental knowledge without ever involving spectral paradigm, Hilbert spaces, and probability theories. However, those guys could be derived as special cases of this formalism. And the, like, this is what I want to show at the like later part of this talk. I want to show how one can construct emergent spacetimes from the setup. This is something I will just mention. I will not have time to speak about this right now. Okay, so so this was like idea, and now we go into the ocean of mathematics. So like when you look at what are probabilistic models, so like spaces of probability densities, probability densities, yeah. These are basically like some subsets of a positive cone of L1 space, which is like basically like integrable functions that are positive. And if you would add normalization, then usually this would be like probabilities would be probability distributions would be probability densities would be just a part of such a space. Yeah, like for example, Gaussians, like space of Gaussians is two-dimensional space parameterized by mean and variance. And yeah, it's like example of like space of probabilities. The specific characteristic thing that is satisfied by probability densities and those spaces is that there is a sort of duality between this what would be what is called states and this what is called that could be called observables in statistics, and also there is like some sort of convergence. This is a technical thing associated with the theory of integration. I would not go into it. But basically, these are like very characteristic properties that are satisfied by probabilistic models. And the same, very, I would say, the structurally, the analogous properties are satisfied by density operators. So there's also some, all density matrices are belong to normalized part of the positive cone, which is like trace class operators, positive trace class operators. Like, so for example, like Gibbs states with one, yeah, it's like a sort of a subspace of the subset of the space. There is a sort of duality between trace class operators and, oh, BH is bounded operators on a Hilbert space, bounded linear operators. And there is also some sort of convergence properties. And now the question is like, whether those two setups can be unified. Here, like usually people deal with density matrices when they have either discrete spectrum or it's at least, I mean, it's, it might be countable, but not doesn't have to be finite, but like people want to have those, usually want to have this division into eigenvalues. And this setup by default is continuous, and it would be nice to have something what can nicely encompass all those properties. And implicitly in background there is also some motivation from QFT that I will not mention because it would be hard to explain this like very briefly. But some people definitely know like why sister algebras are useful. So there is also some motivation, hidden motivation from QFT. And yeah, so there is a possibility of defining like the such algebras which are like defined here, which basically encompass everything what is essential of bounded operators and of those integrable functions here. And it's possible to there is like fully developed theory of integration over such algebra. So there are like LP spaces, Radon-Nikodym derivatives, like everything what you wanted to have, and what you use in probability theory for actually doing this, and everything what you do in for density matrices, in more or less implicitly, can be done on this like more generalized level. So yeah, so there are such algebras. Okay, and in both settings are recovered from those algebras and the associated states on them, like in a specific cases. So if the algebra is commutative, that basically like this probabilistic setting is recovered, and if the algebra satisfies type one property, whatever it is, but there is such a property, then the setup of density matrices over Hilbert spaces is recovered. But no Hilbert spaces are, neither Hilbert spaces nor measure spaces are assumed a priori. This is just, these are just special cases. Okay, so.
When you say Hilbert spaces, now a W star algebra is pretty intimately connected to a Hilbert space.
Well,
it's almost like, isn't it almost like having,
no,
requiring Hilbert space?
I mean, it's like you can always represent them on the Hilbert spaces, but. W star algebras can be defined really well.
No, I know they can be defined abstractly.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like.
Actually strayed very far from the Hilbert space. That's true.
Is there like a one-to-one mapping, like anything you do with the W star algebras, you can do with Hilbert spaces?
No. I mean, like, depends. I mean, the question would be, is everything what you can do with W star algebra can be done with bounded operators on Hilbert spaces? And the answer is no. So like, it's possible to represent them as subalgebras of B of H and then like proceed with those. And like this Hilbert space theory independent formulation can be equipped with fully Hilbert space based representation. Yeah, and then within this representation, you can naturally deal with those objects in the very common way. So in the sense, yes, but the thing is that like it's a generalization that doesn't require to have Hilbert spaces at the beginning. So and also on the way, like theorems can be proved, lots of theorems can be proved without actually using Hilbert spaces, like from the algebraic properties of, or Banach space properties of the structure. So it is intimately related, yes, but it's not required for the foundation. So, this is enough intimately related to call it quantum states after all, yeah? So, and the idea is basically this is put here explicitly. The idea is that those states over W star algebras, they are basically like intended as generalization, both as integrals with probabilities over some functions, and traces with rho over x. Yeah. So basically, this is generalization of those functionals. And the fact that there is like full-fledged integration theory associated with it is super non-trivial. Yeah, and this is a very nice fact. Okay, so and this is like the main message that I want to like convey at this level is basically that like doing slight algebraic generalization beyond Hilbert space setup and dealing with quantum states that are not necessarily traces of rows over Hilbert space, why one can get rid of probability theory like. Between quantum formalism and data, like one can just directly deal with expectations and with no Hilbert space and probabilities. Okay, so the basic object of interest would be spaces of those states over W star algebras. And like for all practical purposes, you can really think of this as spaces of such functionals with various row over V of H, but without H anywhere. Yeah, like without those Hilbert spaces out there. So I want to make one notice. So here there is no assumption that those spaces have to be convex or smooth, or those states are not required to be normalized, just normalizable. And also it's not assumed that they have like that they are a priori decomposable in terms of products, because like all those things are additional assumptions on specific models. They encode the specific assumptions about what do we model. And it might be useful to assume those assumptions in particular cases, but for general theory, it's not necessary. So it's the same like with construction of in case of probabilities, there is probability in the background. So, but here there is no. Okay, so. So we have those spaces of states and of some states. There is like a space of all those states, but the issue is that we deal with like subsets of them. Yeah, we consider various like Gaussians, like Gibbs states. These are subspaces. Okay, and so the main idea is that like getting rid of spectral paradigm, the spectral principle, is basically like conceptually equivalent to considering expectations as more fundamental than eigenvalues. And one can think of as giving priority to like epistemic perspective on quantum theory as opposed to ontic. Like eigenvalues were somehow considered to be more ontic usually, by at least like in old literature. Okay, so the kinematic setting that is going to pop out like soon here is the following. Like the starting point are those spaces. Then there would be like non-linear geometric structures on those spaces, and like the starting point would be like consideration of different relative entropies on those spaces. The notion of observable would be given as arbitrary real-valued function on such a space, and there would be also a very nice thing that those algebras, those W star algebras, are generally non-commutative. So they always go, you can always say that there is a commutator. And the commutator induces a Poisson structure, which is a generalization of symplectic structure, on those spaces. So we'll have like things induced from commutator of the algebra, and this would be a Poisson structure, and this would be unique. And there is also like a possibility of consideration of different relative entropies. Yeah. I mean, like geometrization of QM. Yes, yes. This is one of the.
Geometric formulation of it. You also have Poisson.
Yes, yes, yes. They actually have symplectic form. Like when you write, you can rewrite scalar. Like if you have like projective Hilbert space,
sure, I mean,
then it's like Riemannian minus I symplectic. Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, those are related. Like in the.
Based on the idea that you know, the expectations are more important than Hilbert space.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, but do you mean quantum mechanics of pure states or quantum mechanics of density matrices?
No, there's not even any assumption of whether the pure state or density matrix. Uh-huh.
Well, sounds like the same. So maybe we should just synchronize references. Okay. So there is the thing, and on the other hand, like there will be also new dynamics. Basically, the main principle is to try to well try well the idea is to replace the paradigm of linear CP maps, like completely positive maps, and also the techniques of perturbation of Hamiltonians, which are used in various places, also like in QFT, by some geometrical structures with clear-cut meaning. And those dynamical structures are directly defined using those geometric structures before. So there would be the entropic projections, which are constraint maximizations of relative entropy, would be defining the inferences and like one part of the dynamics, the inferential one. And Hamiltonian flows generated by this Poisson structure would be defining this say causal structure, the inner dynamics, the non-inferential part of quantum dynamics. And one conditioned upon the other would be like full quantum dynamics. Okay, so I go to details. Let's start from relative entropies.
Let's just check.
Yeah.
You start with some. Start off with just some W star L.
Yes.
Then you have some set of so-called states of W.
Yes.
Those you select freely.
They are selected like arbitrarily, right, for now.
But now you're going beyond that. There's no arbitrary choices until you get to the maybe.
No, there is an arbitrary choice of relative entropy. There is like various relative entropy functionals.
You have a reference state with respect to which you compute relative
entropy? This choice.
Or definition of relative, I don't know.
There were different definitions of relative entropy.
So there's not a unique definition
of that. No, this is precisely the content of the next slide.
Okay. But then I just want to say, at this point now you introduce dynamic, you have a continuous time, is that right? So you have a background time, which moreover is continuous.
I will come to this later on. Okay. Like right now, this could be called a spoiler. Yeah. Like I wanted to give like general idea of what I will be going through. So full details would be like right now. Start right now. So okay. So relative entropy is in general, it's a very general notion, and it can be defined just as a two-point functional. Real valued with including infinity, positive valued, such that it takes zero value when those two states are equal, and so a priori it's neither symmetric nor metrical. Additional assumptions could be imposed for various purposes again. So for example, like convexity or a lower semi-continuity would be imposed when we want to have like unique solutions like unique minimization problems or something like this. And here are some examples, like what are the relative entropies. So here are they. And those various quantum geometries would arise from selecting specific quantum models, so specific set of those quantum states, and a specific relative entropy functional. And both the choice of space of states, the construction of it, and choice of the relative entropy should be in principle justified by some operational means. An example. So in probability theory, this construction of models there are many various rules, and there is like no single principle that is provided. Basically. But there are many different principles. One can maximize entropy given constraints. One can select models by some principle of symmetry, and so on and so on. So there are like various models, means of construction of the models. And in case of relative entropies, I would say that right now in quantum information community, there is like a lot of work done for, say, operational justification of various relative entropies. I think Math is even co-author you are not a co-author of like Hilbert Schmidt thing, no? No. We also need to synchronize our references then. Okay, so
let me ask something.
Yes.
So I had it assumed that you meant what you called their D1. So is the statement that you're saying there are all these other possibilities as well?
Yes.
Are all of these defined for arbitrary states of W star L, arbitrary W star L?
Yes. The thing is, okay, in this case, I would still, yes, this is also. Because, like, I think that all, yeah, I'm actually sure that all of those guys, they can be stated in terms of so-called PETS entropies. And PETS entropies are defined for arbitrary W star algebras. So I would be, like, giving, I mean, most of this talk would be in terms of density matrices to like, understand what's going on there. I could give like general function analytic forms of those structures, but it would be like just super unclear. But basically, like, it's, I mean, if you will write arbitrary functional, two-point functional of density matrices, it is not always trivial to reformulate it in W star algebraic terms. So it's not a trivial problem to generalize those guys. But for example, for all those examples, they are directly translatable. This is actually very easy. Okay, so now the nice thing is that, like, so we have like those relative entropies and those states and those quantum models, so spaces of states. So if we assume some conditions on both models and relative entropies, it is possible to derive smooth structures, smooth geometric structures from those entropies. So, like first, like if you in like the finite dimensional case, the very nice example of smooth manifold of quantum states is basically like any manifold of quantum states, which consists only of strictly positive density matrices. So all eigenvalues are positive, and we want to have also smooth parameterization. And like if in such case, like there is already a smooth manifold structure just imported from R to N. But also there is like construction. Yentsova provided the construction for arbitrary W star algebras, arbitrary faithful states on W star algebras. So also it goes for the arbitrary dimension. Okay, and now if we assume that the relative entropy is smooth in both slots and it has positive definite Hessian, I don't know. Then using those equations, it's like derivative in direction of U vector in the slot. In this variable, yeah, this is like somehow one has to denote it, yeah. And then the Riemannian metric pops out, and also two affine connections. Those affine connections are not Levi-Civita connections; these are just affine connections. But altogether, this metric and this pair of two connections, they satisfy a very nice property, which is a direct generalization of characteristic property of Riemannian geometry. So, like in Riemannian geometry, you would just have this is parallel transport, and in Riemannian geometry, you would just have like parallel transport here with respect to Levi-Civita connection, parallel transport here with respect to Levi-Civita, and all the remaining equation would be the same. Here is like with parallel transport vectors along the same path C, but according to two different connections. So, it's like some neat generalization of Riemannian geometry. And there is also Riemannian geometry uniquely derivable from this, because like basically the average of those two connections is always a Levi-Civita of this derived Riemannian metric. So this is like nice, this is like a nice property of this quantum information geometry. And for example, to give you like example, if we take normalized strictly positive trace class operators and take like the standard relative quantum relative entropy, and we apply those Eguchi equations here, then we get such Riemannian metric and such parallel transports. It's usually easier to write parallel transports than actually connections. But there are also functional functional form of the connections derived. These are just longer. Okay, so you can think of this like very, very fancy quantum correlation functional. It's like you have two operators here, and there is something strange, some strange functional of states. Yeah. So instead of having like trace raw xy, which would be like this is what people expect usually to be a correlation functional, there is something like this. And this was invented before quantum information geometry. This was invented by those guys who were doing quantum statistical mechanics, and they wanted to have such correlation functionals for their proposals. So, okay, observables. Ooh, okay. Observables generally defined as arbitrary functions on the model. However, there is a nice thing that smooth observables define Hamiltonian vector fields. How can it be? So, like, first, let me say that every self-adjoint element of the underlying algebra defines this observable in this sense, basically by this affine equation. So, like, whatever we knew as observables from ordinary quantum mechanics is an observable here also. So it's cool. Okay, so I would like to minimize the explanation how the commutator induces the Poisson structure. So basically, like, the one thing that is necessary to know is that there is a smooth, real Banach smooth manifold structure on self-adjoint trace class operators. So this is space larger than quantum states because it's arbitrary self-adjoint trace class, not only positive, but yeah, self-adjoint is like more bigger space than just positive. And so there is like, in the background, there is some manifold structure out there happening. And then the commutator on the commutator of on the self-adjoint part of the algebra by this equation induces Poisson structure and can be shown that this is a Poisson structure. It's well behaved and so on. Also in infinite dimensions, and also in infinite dimensions there is a unique possibility of defining Hamiltonian vector fields, which is very non-trivial, and this is actually called Banach-Lie-Poisson structure, and and these are like more, as you see, these are not very old developments. So basically, like if this model is a smooth submanifold, and we take some smooth function on it, then this function defines a Hamiltonian vector field, and like explicit formula in like in Hilbert space setup has this sort of form. I know that it might look awkward, but I think I would be unable to give more intuition how this appears. Basically, like this works. Okay, so this is when we have this Poisson structure out there. One can and Hamiltonian vector fields, like one can calculate like change of states along those vector fields, and like the temporal evolution of states given some Hamiltonian vector field in the Hilbert space setup, it is driven by such equation, and this is a generalization of von Neumann equation. So if you assume that we deal that the smooth observable is actually the one that is induced from the algebra, so this is like this observable in quantum mechanical sense, then the von Neumann equation is recovered. However, in general, the solutions of those of this equation are state-dependent unitaries. So so they don't form a group, and this equation basically has more rich solutions. So you can think of it that like, oops. So there is like somewhere there is an algebra. There is some space of states over the algebra. And here are some smooth functions. And there is a specific class of smooth functions that are defined by self-adjoint operators, and they precisely recover the ordinary unitary evolution, and all other smooth functions they give more. They give generalization of it's no longer a unitary evolution in the standard sense. Okay, yeah. So yes. No, this would be symplectic structure. This is not necessarily a symplectic structure. In general, it is not a symplectic structure.
Okay, so it's not.
There is a precise characterization of symplectic. I mean, I don't know whether it's like full characterization, but there is like some characterization of when it when there is a, when this turns to the on which states it turns to the symplectic structure. But like generally, it is not. It is not. Okay, so there is like, so this is like one. We had the unitary, in quantum mechanics, we have unitary evolution, and here is generalized to Hamiltonian flows or Poisson flows. And, but there is also like this part associated with the measurement, like projections and Luder's rule and so on. So there was a question what to do with this. But then we have like, okay, so we'll return to this in a moment. Right now we have the other structure, other geometric structure, which are like relative entropies. And let's consider such a thing called entropic projection. So we take, so let's take some state somewhere in this model. Let's consider some, for simplicity, let's consider some subspace. It doesn't have to be subspace, but let's consider subspace. And let's, given this relative entropy, let's find such state within the subspace for which this functional takes the minimal value. And if the solution of this problem with data provided exists and is unique, then this thing is called an entropic projection. Naturally, for a given relative entropy functional, It's not true that arbitrary set Q would provide unique, and there would be any solutions, or there would be unique solution. It's not necessary. So I would say that every relative entropy functional preselects specific types of constraints for which entropic projections are well defined. The nice thing is that if you look at like Hilbert Schmidt. Distance, then it's like Hilbert-Schmidt-Hilbert space. Yeah, so we take like ordinary Hilbert space, you tensor product it with its dual, and this is like new Hilbert space, and this is Hilbert-Schmidt-Hilbert space. And basically like within the space, within this distance, the entropic projections with respect to this entropy on the closed convex linear subspaces are precisely the projection operators. So it's very, very nice thing. Okay, and like there is a line. Well, let's say a stream or maybe a river of research according to which relative entropy maximization in probability theory or maybe in statistics should be considered as a form of inference, as a method of learning, method of updating, of changing the probabilities according to incorporation of a new knowledge. And this was like developed by various people in probability theory. And now the idea is to do the same with quantum states and see what happened and what we can get with such a principle. There is also, I mean, having those entropic projections, actually there is a possibility of developing like a framework of like entropic instruments and effects, but I will not tell about this. Okay, so the nice thing is that actually it's possible to derive this what is like the standard prescription for quantum measurement. So the Luder's rules can be derived as a special case of entropic projections. And this is an analog of the result that Bayes rule in probability theory can be derived as a special case of constrained relative entropy maximization or minimization. So, like, there is another streamline of research, which is like quantum Bayesianism, and the idea is that somehow this quantum measurement is an analog of like the Lidders rules are the analogs of or of Bayes rule. Maybe some CPTP maps are also can be rephrased in this way. And but this is basically like it's partially its interpretation. Partially this is like advocating the analogy. But when I was talking with a few years ago with some people who were opposing this quantum Bayesianity, basically one of the statements was that, well, okay, there is an analogy, and so what? I mean, you can interpret this way, and so what? Like, it's just blah, blah, blah. It doesn't, anything, nothing comes out of this. So derivation of, like, both Bayes rule and Lidders rule from one principle of inference, which is, like, entropic projections, actually gives some extra input. And the thing is that if we will change the constraints, we might have another rules for probabilistic inference, another rule for quantum inference. So, like, because this derivation, like, okay, so in quantum case, basically, like, we take the standard relative entropy, but with the slots, with the different, with the switch slots. So it's like we. Which amounts to optimizing in the second slot instead of first slot, and basically the constraint set is like this. So this is like the standard assumption that is taken anyways for the Lidders rule, and a strong one which is this. So it's like selective measurement. Yeah, this is called non-selective if I remember it properly, and this is called selective measurement. This comes out if there is one more constraint that, and it comes out of the limit when all probabilities of all projections except of the single one, which is this one, go to zero. So this is something nice, and the example is that, like, why this is interesting. So, like, in probability theory, Bayes rule is not like overwhelming like general principle that is necessary. It's like there are various other principles proposed and for inference, like Jeffrey's rule. Like there are like different rules, and people use it. People try to advocate which rule is better, and so on. And if there is a like general principle from which many of those rules can be derived, yeah, somehow this is useful thing, especially when we know that this derivation is under specific condition which can be justified like operationally or something like this. So the same is like the meaning for quantum theory is similar. So basically the statement would be, give me your constraints, say me explain why you choose this constraints and not the other constraints, and then I will tell you what would be the change of state in your situation, like optimal inference. So this out contrasted, for example, with CPTP maps, when, okay, there is this paradigm that we have like complete positivity, but actually the choice of a particular complete positive map is not like directly operationally justified. There are some methods of like justifying why we choose such map and not the other map, but it's not that this is direct in any sense. Okay, so to summarize, there are like two different forms of elementary forms of quantum dynamics that are in this framework. One is induced from the Poisson structure given the choice of Hamiltonian vector field. Another is induced from another are entropic projections given by the choice of relative entropy. and a specific and specific constraints corresponding to information gained and which has to be used to, for the updating. Okay, and like the interpretation here is that this Hamiltonian dynamics is a sort of causality, which means like not inference, non-inferential type of dynamics. So like one person might say, oh, this is like my preferred way of inference. And another person might come and say, oh, let's try this method of inference. And there is still something that might be valid for a description of a given system without, which cannot be covered by the specific changes of inference. I mean, like the concept of causality is too big to encompass it in this talk. But basically, like there are like two different components, and we can condition inference upon this inner dynamics, and this is like the general principle for like dynamics in this framework, that we first take like this inner dynamics and then we do the inference, which is, you can think of this as a generalization of unitary evolution followed by projective measurements. It's strictly a generalization. Okay, and the idea is to use it as a replacement for CP maps. Okay, so one of the values is like this gives a possibility to approach the framework for non-Markovianity for question of quantum dynamics beyond CP maps, beyond the assumption of no initial correlation in a like strict mathematical way, and also perturbation of Hamiltonians. But this is okay. So I have like a 5 minutes thing, yeah, and I need to choose between like speaking of more semantics of the setup or emergent space time. And I think that I would go to emergent spacetime because it might be interesting for you. So from this slide, I would just say that it's W star algebras right now don't possess really reasonable operational semantics. It's just something that you postulate. However, there is a hope that the W star algebras might be constructed mainly or maybe completely characterized by means of measurable groupoids, and in such case there would be like quite nice semantics. So like in the way that measure spaces generalize the notion of like space of elementary events, and they generalize it because the assumption of like Borer algebra is not operationally justified usually. Like in most cases, it's like mathematical stuff that is thrown in. In the same sense, you can think of like groupoids as having something like elementary processes, not elementary separated events. And if W star algebras can be constructed or characterized by groupoids, this would be like the analog. One can think that operationally it would be like an analog for like this is like, you know, it's an equation in the sense of analogous, not in the sense of.
So you can also get type 3 algebras from.
Yes. Okay, so this is what I already was talking about. So let's come to the emergent space-time. So we have like, so far we had those two main things were relative entropies and Hamiltonian flows. And the choice of the relative entropy is a choice of a method of estimation, method of inference, and Riemannian metrics that are derived from it. It's like infinitesimal version of this convention of estimation. Actually, there is like, for example, for exponential models. Speaking of Riemannian metrics on them is equivalent to speaking about correlation functionals. So you could say that in principle it's like just the description of the structure of correlation. So the idea to construct the emergent spacetime is basically first to separate those degrees of freedom which we would like to consider as classical, as no longer quantum, and think of temporality as something that comes from this convention of causality, and think of space as something that comes from the correlation structure. So the construction of this, how it goes, is like if we take first like given arbitrary model, there should be a sort of split between this part of the model that is like parametrizable in those external parameters and something what remains that we want to be quantum even after appearance of this emergent spacetime. Then the Riemannian metric induces a Riemannian metric on the subspace. And we want to have this causality working in this subspace, which is going to be spacetime. So it's like this is like the starting assumptions. It would not be satisfied by the most of models, and there is no requirement that every quantum model would generate whatever we would like to be a spacetime. But okay, and now the procedure is to basically to do a Vick rotation on the Riemannian metric, on the induced Riemannian metric along the temporal trajectory on this space. So basically, like, I mean, this is just mathematical description of this, what I told just before. So we have like Riemannian metric, we write in the basis in which one direction is along the vector field of temporal evolution, and then we rotate this signature from plus to minus in this direction. So I mean, this is just this procedure, and. And the result of such say ad hocery, the result of such process I would call emergent spacetime. Okay, and now why it makes any sense? I mean, apart from nice justification before, so you can think of one thing is that you can those Riemannian quantum Riemannian matrices are actually generalization of quantum correlation functions and. So this is strictly this procedure before is strictly a generalization of a like Vick trick. I mean the applied Vick trick. You know, like there are no general mathematical foundations for this Vick rotation as long as I know as far as I know. But this makes this can be considered as a generalization of the relevant part of it. So yeah, there is this paper which we tried to make. To produce some reasonable spacetime using this procedure to show that it is not non-void. This paper is partial success and partial fail. So we did everything, but finally we realized that the vector field that we used for rotation cannot be written as a Hamiltonian evolution. So yes, we did Schwarzschild spacetime, but not strictly within the definition of this for this emergent spacetime. But it was still hard, and it shows. I mean, this paper is nice because it shows that reverse engineering of your favorite spacetime from quantum model is not an easy process. So okay, and now okay. So like so far there was nothing about dimensionality of those spaces and having like a Lorentzian metric and time evolution, global time evolution is. It's like it's not enough for this what people would like to think of spacetime, and so like the one of the things that would be really necessary to convince like working physicists would be to have like four-dimensional spacetime and having like this split into four-dimensional model and the rest operationally justified. So I'm unable to provide such sort of justification, but like Philip and Marcus are working on precisely on recovery of four dimensionality from quantum theory, using like information theoretic and operationally justified assumptions. So I hope that maybe this work would provide the solution to the problem that, like, from the, you know, like, meeting of top down and bottom up approaches. So this is like a small hope. So this is not pointless, what I'm saying here. Hopefully it's not pointless. Another thing is that, like, this split can be done in a much more subtle way. So it doesn't have to be global. Maybe those spacetimes previously I just assumed that there is like trivial bundle, but there might be like more complicated structures, and spacetime might just emerge locally, no global spacetime at all. And the last thing is that if there is a split, let's say that this is this trivial split, and here we have like emergent spacetime, and here is the this like remaining part of the quantum model. Well, these are like quantum states, so if I will select like a section here, then we have like quantum state over W star algebra in each point. There is a construction called GNS construction. It's standard thing in operator algebras, and each such state produces a Hilbert space. So actually this section of a bundle here produces a bundle of Hilbert spaces associated with a spacetime with a, this is what you would call a predefined ground state. It doesn't have to be thermally. It doesn't have to be like a vacuum in the sense of Fock space. It doesn't have to be Fock space also. It might be thermal state. But basically, like, there is a preselected section of like states corresponding to those guys. And there is also a representation of the underlying algebra within each B of H of the spacetime. So as you see, there is a potential for doing emergent quantum field theories over spacetimes. I have absolutely no time to tell you about this. So this is my overdone 5 minutes, but this is like my main message again. And so maybe I'll actually say this message. So yeah, so quantum mechanics can be generalized to a framework based on, I should say, W star algebras and relative entropies with nonlinear kinematics and dynamics. It's independent of Hilbert spaces, probably theory, spectral theory, and spacetimes. It allows to derive emergent spacetimes, hopefully also those of the kind that you prefer, like four-dimensional. It allows to study emergent quantum field theories. I wrote study because, well, I show you nothing. Almost nothing, and it allows for information theoretic ontically non-committal interpretation. There is a lot of stuff I wrote before. Let's assume that most of it is not important with respect to the paper that will appear. So I invite you to the archive before the end of this year, and thank you very much.